of Revelation 18:24 anyway. And I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and exposit it on it. Now, there's one thing about this chart that sticks out like a sore thumb. And this is borne out historically. Missionary Baptists have never persecuted anybody. Anabaptists have never persecuted anybody. The Waldenses, the Donatists, the Paulicians, the Arnoldists, all these people along the bottom here, all these Anabaptists, as they were known, they never persecuted anybody. Nobody. The Catholic Church is one of the greatest persecutors of all these people that ever existed on the face of this earth. Now let me tell you something else that's interesting. You go over here and you look at these. Did you know that John Calvin and the others actually persecuted Baptists? Do you know they persecuted them severely? Do you know that the Church of England burned some of them at the stake? Did you know that all these churches that broke off here, there were four that broke off that severely persecuted the Baptists? Now, if I didn't have anything else to offer you except this, think about it. Where did Jesus ever tell those claiming to be a church to persecute other churches? Now, I'll speak against them. I'll speak against what they believe. But I'm certainly not going to try to have them put to death for what they believe. And I'm certainly not going to persecute them. So think about that. Now, these are all the churches that came out of the Catholic Church, one way or another. Methodists, Presbyterians, Church of England, Episcopal, you name it. They all came out of that first irregular group of churches that united with Constantine, formed the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and this is what came out of it. Now, down here, you've always had the Anabaptists, and they have always rebaptized people that came out of these churches because they brought error out with them at the Catholic Church. The theme that I have followed has not been one of hate. It's been one of love. You cannot by any stretch of the imagination believe that churches that persecute other churches and put some of the members to death are God's churches. Now, Baptists are guilty of a lot of things. But Baptists in all the history of the world have never been a state church. They were offered by Holland to become the state church of Holland, and they refused. And they don't persecute other people. Now, just based on that alone, which would you think was the church that the Lord favored? These that never persecuted anybody, or these that came out of the Roman Catholic Church that persecuted just about everybody? Now, I'm going to talk about some things that are coming up, and I realize that you're bound to get tired of hearing the same old thing about the Revelation is not too far away from the beginning of the tribulation period. Armageddon, not in the far distant future, part 10, an exposition of Revelation 16:13 to 18:24. Well, I'm glad that we didn't find that tape, or Michael didn't find it till the other day, because I hadn't exposited on 18:24, which is what I'll do today. Revelation 17:18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. John wrote this book of Revelation in 95 and 96 A.D. on the Isle of Patmos. At that time, Rome ruled the world. The kingdom of Rome at one time stretched all the way up into Scotland, all the way across Wales, all the way across France, across Spain, across Morocco, Algeria, Tripoli, Libya, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Turkey, Lebanon, Iraq, over in parts of Iran, part of northern Saudi Arabia, and all of Europe. That was the known world. And there was only one great city that reigned over those kings of the earth, and it was Rome. So this is talking about Rome, and it's referring to the Roman Catholic Church. I cannot sugarcoat it. That's just truth. Revelation 18:24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all them that were slain upon the earth. I showed you last Wednesday, millions, I mean millions, of people that believe what we profess to believe were butchered, slaughtered, and killed in the name of Christ by the Roman Catholic Church. And that's not a theory, it's a fact. They've apologized for it, primarily because of political pressure and because of today being politically correct. But even they admit it's true. You might consider taking a look back at part 8 in this series to get a better idea of how much martyr's blood has been shed in the past by the Roman Catholic faith. But since I'm more concerned about the blood of the martyrs that will be shed in the tribulation period, I'm just going to use Revelation 18:24 as a springboard for what is coming rather than what is past. There's been a lot of martyrs in the past, a lot of people that gave their lives, a lot of people were tortured, a lot of people were beheaded, a lot of people were hung. And they were hung for their testimony of Jesus Christ. We like to think that that's the Dark Ages. It was. That nothing like that will ever happen again. It will happen in the same place it happened before. And it will be done this time by Islam. So the age of martyrs is not over. Other believers will die in tribulation before Trump 7. Now, every preacher's got a right to teach and preach what he wants. And I used to try and sugarcoat this and just not be blunt about it. And if you believe in the first of the week, you have a right to do so. But I'm going to look you right straight in the eye and tell you, no, it is not going to happen. And this country and a large part of the religious world has been absolutely brainwashed into believing that regardless of what kind of a life God's children lead, that there is no retribution whatsoever, and that God's children are going to be whisked out of here, will not suffer in the tribulation period, will not be martyred. And that isn't true. And the reason I'm so emphatic about it is because I would say over 90% of missionary Baptist preachers swear up and down that all the saved are going to be whisked out of here at the beginning of the tribulation period. None of them are going to be martyred. Don't worry, you won't have to have any problems. And it is damning thoughts and minds of people who are going to be caught in an absolute state of shock when they aren't caught out at the first of the tribulation period. Now, I intend to prove what I say tonight. Other believers will die in tribulation before Trump 7. Billions of dollars have been poured into the coffers of those who advocate the post-1740 rapture teaching. Came out after 1740. Billions of dollars have been poured into the coffers of those who advocate the post-1740 rapture teaching that all the saved will be whisked up to heaven before 7 years of tribulation begin on this planet. That is not true. You don't think that I fear the judgment seat of Christ, you're quite wrong. I'm a real scaredy cat. But I'm not afraid to say what I just said. And when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe I'm going to be vindicated. I'm trying to warn people that you had better be prepared for a time of trouble like has never been, and some of God's children are going to die in the tribulation period. I believe it will be in Europe. and scattered across North Africa. Because I think some of God's children in false churches, that's where their roots are, and that's where a lot of saved people exist that are in absolute corrupt, false churches filled with heresy. And I think a lot of them are going to die. But I also think some of God's children that he thinks very highly of, I think some of them are going to die too. I don't believe God waited until the great evangelical movement, which began in the 1730s, to have a first of the week position taught. I have personally searched for any evidence of this position prior to 1740 and found none. And I have put out publicly on the internet, and I've preached it at churches. I've said, if you can find me any evidence in any commentary in the Bible or written on the Bible that taught a pre-trib rapture, I'll give you $500. So far, I've had no takers. But I surely do not ask you to believe what I teach based on historical research. Please take a look in our Prophecy Update archives for historical and biblical exposition of the rapture question. And this goes on our website. You will find it in archive update 73D, 74A, 76, 78A, 82A, 114A, 123B, 144A, 144F, 147D, 166C, and 233A. Check it out for yourself. I've put stuff out like this now for 5 years. Not one person. And we're averaging, when I looked at the meter, we're averaging 144 hits a day, primarily from missionary Baptist preachers. 144 hits a day. Now, let me tell you something interesting. Not one has ever sent me an email or called me and tried to refute what I say. They can't refute it. But how would you like to be a pastor of church? You've pastored there for 30 years. And you've taught everybody in the church that it can't be anything but the first of the week position. And you've never really looked at the Bible and studied it out for yourself. You just believe what they taught you in seminary. And finally, one day, you start studying and looking, and you say, good grief! It's not the first of the week. What do? You think preachers are going to turn around and tell people, I've been wrong all these years? No, they're just going to try to protect them as much as they can from finding out the truth so they can keep their jobs. The recent Left Behind series made millions in book sales, actually billions, because they had movies and books. All it is fiction. It's a fictional lie. These guys became multimillionaires out of it. The recent Left Behind series made millions in book sales and filled the pockets of those who wrote them, as well as those who ghost wrote or published them. You say, well, I really enjoy it. Hey, they're good writers. And they tell you what you want to hear. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They tickle your ears, tell you what they want to hear. You're not going to be left here. Why, God wouldn't leave any of his people down here. God's people never suffer. They prosper, don't they? First of the week position is incorrect. Then millions. If the first of the week position is incorrect, then millions, millions are going to be in shell shock when all hell breaks loose. And they find themselves still living as occupants of surface earth. How much confidence will they have in the many other things writers taught them as being true? I encourage you to go to the link which follows to get a truthful description of the Left Behind series. This is the best link I've ever seen on the internet. And this guy tells it just like it is and gives you the history of this Left Behind series, which is an ungodly lie. I'm that bold to say it. And it's misleading the American public and people all over this earth. I'm convinced that some of God's children are going to die in the tribulation period. Yet most are convinced they will not be here during any part of it and do not want to hear anything contrary to that belief. They'll have to hit the road, pick up their suitcase, and leave if they start trying to preach that in a church that they've never heard anything but the first of the week position, and they'll be considered heretics. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to face tribulation. They don't want to face trial. Well, who does? But the truth is the truth. Remembering that Revelation chapters 12 through 14 are classed as parenthetical chapters. They're just kind of sandwiched in, not in the general chronological sequence. I believe the sequence which follows is a reasonable chronological arrangement for the last 3.5 years prior to the second advent. That's when Jesus comes at the end with all the saints, bring them back after they've been judged in heaven. I believe the sequence which follows is a reasonable chronological arrangement of the last 3.5 years prior to the second advent that ends Armageddon. Now, as I go through here, I'm going to ask you to please do two things, consider two things. The Earth's population is 6 billion. 6 billion. Over 6 billion right now. I want you to, as we go through these scriptures, on each one ask yourself, well, how many are going to be left? How many are going to be left? And the second thing I'd like for you to do is to ask yourself, are some of God's children going to be martyred in the tribulation period? Are some of God's church members going to be martyred in the tribulation period? You say, well, God would never allow a faithful church member to be martyred. Which book have you been reading? Which book have you been reading? Most of the disciples were martyred. Down through the dark ages, he allowed millions of faithful church members to be slaughtered. You say, well, I don't believe. It's true. So why do you think that if this thing called the rapture, that God's children aren't going to die and be martyred? Is it because you're spiritually afraid to die? I don't know. I was when I was young. I still am to a certain extent. But when your body gets old and worn out, you just like to go home and you don't really care. War, pestilence, and famine ravage a fourth part of the earth. Revelation 6:8. Here we go. We're going to start chronologically. You decide how many people are going to be killed. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Now the second horse was a red horse that typified war. The next horse was a black horse. Pictures famine. And then we have this pale horse that pictures death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them. Who's them? Go back above it. 4 verses above it. It's the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, the horse of death. It's war, it's pestilence, and it's famine. And power was given unto them, the horse riders, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. I think that's already starting in the beginning of sorrows, been going on for some time. But I believe by the time this trumpet here sounds, this seal here is opened, the fifth seal, that you will have had a tremendous death toll out of that 6 billion already. Now, all of a sudden, in chronological sequence, angelic war breaks out in heaven. Michael versus the devil. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. The devil is cast out of the heavens onto the earth. I'm just going chronologically through the sequence. Revelation 12:12. Well, what would you expect when the devil was cast out of heaven in Revelation 12:7? He was not allowed to come back anymore. Well, I imagine there'd be quite a bit of rejoicing. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you. The people that are on the earth are in a heap of trouble, and the people in heaven are rejoicing. The devil comes down having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So the devil has a very short time after he's thrown out of heaven. All kind of things are going on the earth that aren't good. A lot of people are being killed, and when the devil comes down, it gets worse. Revelation 6:9-11. Now here we are at this particular point in time. The souls in heaven are anxious for the rapture to occur. I list all the archive updates. I put this out. Nobody has ever, ever sent me back and said, well, this is wrong because of this and this. Not once. Because it's a pretty good case. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. So there is no question, these are martyrs. And these are the martyrs who have died up to the opening of the fifth seal. Their souls are in heaven. They have not yet been given their outer garments. And there they are in heaven as martyrs. And they died up to this point. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that are dwelling on the earth? It's getting pretty close, but the devil has a short time. But it's getting close. And they want to see the devil and his angels cast into a bottomless pit. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them, they should rest yet for a little season. I think the little season and the short time may well be the same time. Now notice this. I have had preachers, missionary Baptist preachers, that have said to me, Brother Michael Murray, surely you don't think that God's children that he loves are going to be martyred in the tribulation period. Why in heaven's name not? I don't find anything in the Bible myself that indicates that we're exempt from martyrdom at any time. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were. Well, how were they killed? They were killed. They were martyred for their testimony which they held. And they said, now on the fifth seal, he says, there are some more down there that are going to be martyred just like you were. You wait a little while, and they'll be up here. Then we'll go back. Little season begins on earth. Here comes the little season. Revelation 6, 12 through 13. Now I want you to look at this. And I want you to just kind of in your mind ask yourself, I wonder how many this will kill. Revelation 6, 12, 13. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Why in heaven's name didn't I realize this when I was a young man? Why in heaven's name didn't I look at these scriptures? Why didn't I take the Bible and look at it and look at what it said? I'm going to tell you why. I didn't want to. I flat did not want to. Because I did not like what I saw. And I'm going to tell you, you've got a whole lot of young people, and you've got a whole lot of old people, and a whole lot of middle-aged people, and scriptures like this, they do not want to even consider. Because it's not pleasant. Whoever said being a servant of God would be a pleasant experience? Israel is driven into the Negev for a little season of 3.5 years. So in the midst of all this chaos, and people say, well, Michael Murray, don't you think the United States is going to help Israel? In the midst of all that, we're not going to help anybody. And that's one of the reasons the Antichrist is going to be so successful. You're going to have mass confusion. And in that mass confusion across the Middle East and across Europe, those people over there will take the mark of the beast wholesale. They're not Bible students. They're not interested in the Word of God. They've heard enough, many of them, to be saved, but they don't want to know anymore. Israel has driven the Negev for a little season of 3.5 years. Revelation 12, 13, 14. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, time, 2 years, half a time, a half a year, 1 + 2 + 1/2 is 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. We've covered this many times. I've been over it many times. You know what I teach and what I believe about it. Now, 1/3 of men die in the volcanic earthquake chaos. Now, 6 billion. We have a population just over 6 billion on this earth. Now, up until this point, in this time, You see that a lot of people have died in all this. I mean, this is bad stuff. So let's take a look at this. 1/3 of men die in volcanic earthquake quiet chaos. 1/3 die in volcanic earthquake chaos. You want to see the volcanic chaos? You want to see the three elements that are coming up out of the Abyssu Priakos, the shaft abyss of hell, coming up out of the mouth of the earth? You want to see it? Revelation 9:18, by these three was the third part of men killed. Third part of the world population, more than 2 billion, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. How many were killed in New Orleans? First they said 10,000, now it's considerably less. But let's say it had been 10,000. There's no comparison. And I'm glad that I know this, because it's the only thing that could ever have prepared me for what's in our immediate future. And the old saying in Nam that we had was, if God brings us to it, God will bring us through it. And that's the only thread of hope I've got. And I hang on to it tenaciously, because God's the only one who can get you through something like this. That's why I keep encouraging people to be in the right church and to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when this happens, you'll have a favorable record, and you'll be a whole lot better off than if you had dilly-dallied around and wasted your life. Satan makes war with the Negev remnant of Jesus. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You've still got people on this earth keeping the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that is a New Testament church. And the church is still here in Revelation 12:17. This is an all-Jewish church. Now, let's take a look, and let's go back to our 6 billion. You've seen what's happened up to this point. Believers killed for not worshiping the beast image, Revelation 13:15. And he, the false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So you're going to have a lot of people killed that won't take the mark of the beast. Now, you know that I'm not a man who tries to pretty things up and make it acceptable and tickle your ears. And I'm not tickling your ears when I tell you this. I think that 95% of this or more is going to occur in the known world at the time that John wrote the book of Revelation. I do not think the mark of the beast is going to be put on in this country. I do not believe that. I believe it will be put on in the known world that was known at that time. I believe it will be put on in Europe. I believe it will be put on in North Africa. I believe it will be put on in the Middle East. I believe it will be put on in Russia. I believe it will be put on in the Islamic world. That's where I think the mark of the beast is going to occur. I do not think it will be put on in this country. Could I be wrong? Sure. But I don't believe it's going to be put on in this country. Now, the martyrs are rewarded for not affiliating with the beast. So, would you say that a martyr was someone who really believed what he professed? Would you say he was someone that was faithful to the death, to the Lord? Would you say that's what a martyr was? Would you say it was somebody that just didn't die by accident, but somebody that believed so strongly what he or she had professed to believe, that they were willing to give their lives and did for Christ? Now, would you say that would meet the criteria for faithful? Would you say that? I would. Faithful martyrs. So here we come up, and you got a bunch of them, and they were killed during the time of the tribulation period. Revelation 24, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Do they still have the guillotine in France? No. Do they still have the guillotine in any European country?
No.
Do they have one in Russia? Do they have one in China? Do they have beheading in those countries? No. Where do they have it? Islam. One of the most popular methods of execution. Beheading. So if these souls were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, they had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, would you say that it's just possible that Islam is going to be the 10 toes of Daniel's statue, the 10 horns of Daniel's beast, the 10 horns of Revelation 13 and 17? Would you say it just might be possible that that's where your main trouble is and problem is, and that a lot of God's children are going to have their heads chopped off in the old world that was the known world of John's day? That's what I think. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Is this your casual, everyday, run-of-the-mill Christian? What do you consider yourself? What do I consider myself? Difficult question to answer. But I'll tell you what I consider myself. I'm a little short, fat, dumpy fella. It's overweight. And not all that spiritual. And not all that committed to the Lord that I would give my life. I would say these people were pretty super. Matter of fact, it'd be hard to classify them as anything other than the ultimate faithfulness to God. So is it possible that those who were faithful, as classified by God, are going to be the ones that rule and reign with Him? I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about what happens when you get there. Now, a lot of people that are going to be in that heavenly city, and a lot of people that are going to rule and reign with Christ, are not going to have their heads chopped off. They're not going to be martyred. They're not going to be asked or put to the test of giving their life for Christ. But the word faithful is the key. Abraham was faithful. Isaac was faithful. Jacob was faithful. David was faithful. John was faithful. James was faithful. Bartholomew was faithful. Thomas was faithful. Mary Magdalene was faithful. Mary of Bethany was faithful. Jesus' mother was faithful. They weren't martyred. Maybe John was, and some other apostles. The vast bulk of those people who reign with Christ will not be martyred. But they will have come up to the qualification of faithful. God's definition of it. And if there ever was a time in my life and in your life that we ought to say within ourselves to God, thank you, Lord, for letting me learn the truth, and Lord, please let me submit my will and heart to you and live faithful until the day I die. Because that's who's going to live and reign with Christ. All the saved will be there. Heaven's a big place. But faithfulness is the key to those who reign with Him. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Well, that's no problem. I died with Christ 61 years ago. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So I died with Christ, was buried with Him, resurrected with Him. And I live with Him now, because He lives in me, and I live in Him in heaven, in places, in heavenly places. Okay, that's settled. I'm going to heaven. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. What if I chicken out? What if I decide my own physical life and my own physical welfare is more important to me than the man that saved my life and my service to him? What if I decide to quit pastoring? What if I decide to do what people want me to do because I don't want to suffer persecution? Well, I'll just put it to you plainly. Then I will not reign with him. Why? If we deny him, if I deny to live my life for Christ and to be faithful in his local New Testament church, he will deny me the right to rule with him. I've had people say, well, I don't want to rule with him. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. And that's one of the things in our churches that I've noticed as I've gone all these years. A lot of people don't have any desire whatsoever to have a rulership position in heaven where they're given authority and responsibility and are near to Jesus and being in the kingdom and being there forever, being in his presence, being used of God. They don't even want that. Well, if they don't want it, they'll end up there because they're saved by grace through faith. But they're going to wish they had. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This next verse is a real mouthful. And it's worth really thinking about and considering. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What does it say? I'm looking at the tribulation period and in a way dreading it. But in a way, looking forward to it. And I ask God's Son daily to give me the strength, spiritual strength, and this church, each individual part of it, to give them the spiritual strength to face what lies ahead. Because I assure you what lies ahead, only the Son of the living God can get us through it. And I think if we have any spiritual sense at all, we'll make a concerted effort to be faithful in God's church while we still have the time and the opportunity. As the song leader comes, as the pianist comes, we'll have one stanza of invitation. It's 5 minutes till 8. So I didn't go over.